Through the water. cold and dreary land. May God fill thy presence nearly, and the touch of thy dear hand. Savior, hear me when I call thee, and to save me from all fear. Savior, and that whispered sweet peace to me. I could not go on without him, I know. The world would overwhelm my soul, for I could not see the right way to go. When temptations on me roll, he whispered sweet peace to me. He whispered sweet peace to me. When I am cast down in spirit and soul, he whispers sweet peace to me. I trust him through faith, by faith hold his hand, and sometimes my faith is weak. And then when I ask him to take command, it seems that I hear him speak. He whispers sweet peace to me.
Six, 256. time to continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching. And we welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today. We appreciate your presence and the effort you've made to come out and be with us here at Reedsville Primitive Baptist Church. We're glad to hear that Sister Mosley is doing very well. And I hope there's nothing. She hadn't had a setback. Some of us were expecting her today, but she was at Monticello last week. But we hope that she's still doing well. I think she's through with all of her treatments, isn't she? So I know she's happy to be through that. Is there any other sickness that we need to make mention of?
If
no, I sure haven't. The last I heard, it said he was getting around with a cane, walking cane. That's the last I heard. That was a good while back. For those that might be interested, we're happy to report that the shots that I'm taking for my bone marrow was not making red blood cells like it was supposed to, and my blood count was down to 7.7 when it should be 12. So I've had three shots now, one every 2 weeks. And the doctor said they only work 20% of the time, and the next step would be transfusions, and that would be once a month. So thankfully, the shots are working. And my blood count's back up to 10.10 now. So we thank the Lord for that. And I can tell a difference. I feel better. Brother Keith, I'll turn to number 103 if you don't have one. And as we sing number 103, you may stand if you like. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, we covet an interest in your prayers and hope that you will be indicted with the spirit of prayer as we try to lead, and that we all might be blessed with the spirit of prayer and the spirit of worship, and the Lord will grant me the leadership of his unerring spirit, that we might rightly divide the word of truth and bring out things both new and old to the edifying of his dear people and the praise and the glory of his great name. Sing when you're ready.
103. God love, oh, hear our prayer, kindly for thy people care. We on thee alone depend, save and save us to the end. Save us in the prosperous hour from the flattering tempter's power, from his unsuspected wiles, from the world's pernicious smiles. Cut off our dependence vain on the help of feeble man. Every arm of flesh remove, take us from eternal love. Save us from the great and wise till they sink in their own eyes, till they nothing know beside Jesus and him crucified.
My withers, our most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we come to thee, trusting in the righteousness and merits of thy dear Son, for our righteousness, that we might be acceptable unto thee. We thank thee, our Father and our most wonderful Savior, for the Holy Spirit that thou didst send when thou went back to the Father, that he might be our guide, a teacher, and that he might lead us into the way of all righteousness. And we pray, our Father, today that the blessed Holy Spirit might enlighten our minds and lead us into a fertile field, that we might enjoy the riches, the unsearchable riches of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that thy name, O Lord, might be exalted and be praised. And we thank thee for thy blessed church that thou hast established here in the world, which thou hast said is a pillar in the ground of the truth, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we thank thee, dear Lord, for thy providential grace that has led us into the house of our brethren, that we might sit under the gospel, enjoy the fruits of thy truth, be delivered from the philosophies and the vain things of men, and the commandments of men, and be set free by thy wonderful word, O Lord, which thou hast inspired men ages ago to pen down for our welfare and our benefit. We thank you for the church here at Lindsay Street, for each soul that's here today and each house that's represented. We pray, Lord, thou would bless them and us all together, that we might worship thee, and that, our Father, we might be better edified and built up in the most holy faith to be better servants of thee. Dear Lord, we thank you for this country, which thou hast blessed above all countries of the earth. And we pray for her rulers and her leaders, from the courthouse to the White House. We thank you, dear Lord, for the privileges we have of living in this country and the liberties that we have above most people of this earth. We thank you again, dear Lord, for thy church and kingdom, the lot and the part that thou hast given us in it. And now, Lord, we pray that thou would bless thy word to the honor and the praise of thy great name. These mercies we pray for the sick and the afflicted, the aged and the infirm, all that's asked an interest in our prayers and the prayers of this church. And these blessings we ask in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Amen. We want to read a few verses of scripture and cover the continued interest in your prayers as we try to bring forth something hopefully new and old out of the scriptures, to the edifying of the Lord's dear people and to his honor and glory. I think I'll start with the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. Now, about that time, Herod the king, and this Herod was Herod Agrippa. There was two Herods before him, Herod Antipas and Herod the Great was called. I think Herod the Great is the one that killed all of the children 2 years old and under when the wise men came from the east and inquired about the king of the Jews that was born. And from that information, he feared, I guess, that he was going to be dethroned, and he slew all of the children from 2 years old and under. Then there was Herod Antipas after him, and he's the one that beheaded John the Baptist. And this is Agrippa, Herod Agrippa. Now, about the time Herod Agrippa the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now this was James. James and John was the son of Zebedee. There was another James that's called the Lord, the brother of our Lord. But this was James and the brother of John, which is the beloved disciple, the one that wouldn't even pronounce his name. He just referred to himself as the one that Jesus loved. And so this James, we understand. Let me See, the reference here is to Matthew 20. Let's pause there and read that for a minute. Then came to him, that is to the Lord Jesus, the mother of Zebedee, the children, Zebedee's children, with her sons. This would be James and John. Worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink of? And to be baptized with the baptism that I shall be baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. So James and John said that they were able to be baptized with the baptism that he was to be baptized with. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. So the mother of James and John requested of the Lord that her sons might sit with him when he came in his glory on his throne. That one on the left and one on the right. And he reminded them of the baptism. And he's talking about his death now. He's already been baptized by John the Baptist. He's talking about his death that he's going to be baptized with. And he said, Are you able to be baptized with it? And they said, We are. I don't know whether they understood what they were saying or not. But he said, Ye indeed will be baptized with the baptism that I am. And so we read here that James was baptized with the same baptism that he was baptized with to a certain degree. For James, it says, And he killed James, his brother of John, with the sword. So that would mean that he cut his head off. And I understand the Jews had four ways of capital punishment, and that was considered the most despicable and disgraceful. And so that's the way James, the disciple of our Lord, was killed. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Of course, the days of unleavened bread is the days of the Passover. That's when they ate the unleavened bread and drank the fermented wine in the Passover. The Passover was a week-long service, and it had already started. My calendar said last Tuesday was Passover. And, of course, the Passover is when the Passover lamb is killed and he is offered as an atonement for the sins of Israel. And this took place on the first full moon after the spring equinox, which this year was March the 20th. Spring officially started March the 20th. And Passover is established by the first, we call it Easter, but this, that's a Gentile term. Passover is a scriptural term. And it was, when it was instituted, it was, of course, instituted by our Lord when Moses came up out of Egypt. And, you know, when God created the sun and the moon and the earth and everything, he told that the sun, said he had created a great light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night, which of course is the moon. And he said these are given for times and for seasons. And not only were they given for light, but they're given for times and for seasons. And centuries ago, most all nations were governed by a lunar calendar instead of a solar calendar like we are today. And Israel had a lunar calendar, and that's what governed her festivals. Her festivals were governed by the moon and on a lunar scale. And so the sun and the moon is not only given as great lights, but also for signs and for seasons and for times. And I'll repeat myself again because I think it's so amusing and interesting. I was reading a scientific paper magazine in our library, a place where I worked before I retired. And this man had wrote a dissertation on time as a thesis for his doctorate. And he was talking about how all down through known civilizations, how that different peoples had developed their calendars and governed themselves by the sun and the moon. And of course we know that our year is based on the time it takes the earth to revolve around the sun, 365 and one-fourth days. And the month is based on the moon, and it cycles around the earth. And so the month and the year, this article went on, and what it was in great detail about different tribes and down through the years and how the calendars were developed and so forth. But then he came to the week, and he said, well, we have no basis at all for a seven-day week. He said, why that's a tradition that we have a seven-day week is a great mystery. He says, we don't have any planetary movements that's based on 7 days. He said a 10-day week would have been a lot more sensible and have been a lot more easy for calculations of time and so forth. So why we don't have a 10-day week instead of a 7-day week, he says he just couldn't understand that. And I thought to myself, well, how on earth could a man be so smart? I mean, the article I had read was fascinating, and the research that he had done, and didn't know that the earth was created in 6 days, and in the seventh day, God rested. And the seventh-day week was based on the creation of everything. And the same one that give us the sun and the moon for times and for seasons and for great light by the day and a lesser light to rule the night gave us the week. And I just couldn't. It's somehow I wanted to believe that he just ignored that because he just didn't want to believe in God or something. I couldn't understand why he didn't even mention that's where the 7 days could have come from. And he's bound to have known that. But anyway, this article, that was his summation in his scientific thesis. that we would have been by far better off with a 10-day week instead of a 7-day week. But in a way, we have 7 days to the week, and we know where it come from. And the 8th day is a new week. Starts all over again. And 8 is a number of new beginnings in the scriptures. And when God decided to destroy this earth because of the wickedness of men with the flood, he put 8 people in the ark. And from those 8 people that would come across the flood in the ark, we have a new beginning. And now they tell me there's over 6 billion people in the earth. And they all came from Ham, Shem, and Japheth, Noah, and their wives. And even though many scientists and science, falsely so-called, try to deny these facts, yet it is proven over and over in archaeology and histories of different nations, as tablets and things are dug up, it's reaffirmed over and over again that these things are true. And it's marvelous in our eyes. And so this was the days of unleavened bread. And the days of unleavened bread was the Passover. And Passover was instituted by our Lord when the Israelites were delivered from Egypt by Moses. And they were told to put up a lamb and for each household. And if there was just 2 in a household, then more than one household could go together, how many of the lamb would serve. But they roasted the lamb and ate him on the Passover. And when they roasted the lamb, they run a stick through the length of its body, and then another stick behind its shoulder blades to turn it with over a spit to roast it. And you've got a cross there. A stick lengthwise through the body and one through his shoulder blades, behind his shoulder blades. And there was the symbol of the cross, where our Passover lamb was crucified for us. And the Lord told Israel, said, that shall be a feast for you forever to observe this. And so that's why it's this time of the year. Spring, beautiful. Driving up today, Brother Richard and I, see all the dogwoods and the white and the pink dogwoods and the trees and the blossoms and the flowers. And a beautiful time of the year. It's a time of a new beginning. After winter, everything's as dead, and the leaves and the trees are bare. And then they begin to bud and to bloom, and everything looks fresh and alive again. And I guess that's why, how eggs and rabbits got into it's kind of a mystery, but from things that I read, the Egyptians had a theory that creation hatched out of an egg.